The Bible reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Amen.
As I looked up this passage and was reading a couple of commentaries, it talked a fair bit about, the commentaries talked about Roman triumphal processions. And I'm like, yeah. That wasn't the bit about this passage that really struck me that much. But they made a point in there. See, the Roman triumphal processions would be when a general had won something, they would come back to Rome and it was this big do, and they would have people march through, and people would watch and cheer. And the things that were in there would be the captives they've taken and slaves who are walking along chained up, probably a bit sad because at the end of the procession, sometimes they would sacrifice some of them by knocking their heads off to the gods. There would be the honoured general in his chariot and everyone screaming how wonderful he was. There would be people coming along swinging incense burners. So there was a smell travelling through. That bit I didn't know about. And then there would be the soldiers from the victorious army. And it was a big do. I'm like, wow. Glad we don't do that stuff. I'm not into those big crowds, but that's what they did. And they made the point that Christ's triumphal procession. Oh, yeah. The victorious general is Christ. I believe we're still in the season where the battle's going on more than the procession. That'll be in heaven. But there were two types of people in the parade. There were those who were the servants or the soldiers of the general, and it was a pretty good experience for them. Or there were the captives, those who weren't on the general side. And Paul makes a point in this passage. We captives in Christ's triumphal procession. Now, for Paul to say that, he got captivated, all right? That was the road to Damascus. And he was an enemy of Christ. He swapped over and then willingly served Christ. So he's one of the soldiers, so it's not too bad for him. But it reminded me of a song we sing that comes from the words of the Bible. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At some stage in that procession, there will be a procession, and everyone will honour the general Jesus, the Lord Jesus, willingly or unwillingly. I want to go with the willingly. But then it made a point that as part of those festival, those triumphal, there were people with incense burners so that there was a smell going through. And I thought, for the Romans, that smell signified victory and joy. So if you hadn't been listening to the news, and you woke up one morning, you're a street away, and you walk out and go, what's all that noise? And you smell, we know what that is. It's a triumphal parade. Rome's done well again. If you're a Roman citizen, you're happy. But if you're one of the captives in that train and marching along, you go, this is not good. Death is near. If you're a slave in the crowd that 5 years ago was captured, and your life there working for this Roman family is pretty ordinary, watching this triumphal parade is not a time of joy for you. It's a time where it reminds you of what you lost and how bad things are. That's part of that aroma brings those thoughts to the surface. So 2 Corinthians says, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task?" So the smell is the same, the effect is different. Let us take a moment to ask God to bring that good in our lives. Lord, you called us to follow you. You called us to be a fragrance of you. Now, to some that's a good thing, to others it's not. Lord, we pray that you will help us to be that fragrance in a good way. And when we smell it, to see the joy of it and to be encouraged. May we, as we listen this morning, have that moment where something in this message helps us understand something that little bit more by the help of your Spirit and helps us to do honor to you and help to our community this week. In Jesus' name, amen. To the unbeliever, to one the aroma of death, to the believer, the aroma of life. When I got to this passage, I came back and it struck me. The first time I can remember hearing this verse was my first wife, Kylie, telling me about what was happening in her life before we were together. She was at school and she was a special needs teacher, and she was a lovely girl. Of course I'm biased. But if you asked anyone from the Longreach Church that knew her, they'd tell you the same thing. And she worked really hard and was really lovely to the kids. The parents liked her. They had a new, head of department teacher come to look after the special needs unit there. And Kylie said he was just difficult and he was always mean to her. And she's like, couldn't understand it. What's going on? And she was talking to the pastor at the time, and he gave her this verse and he said, "Kylie, we see it in you. We see that you are always trying to be a godly person. And when you do that to people who are looking, who know God, to people who are looking or seeking, or people that are a bit neutral, that's a good thing. They like you. But maybe there's something about him that he's struggling in his own way, and seeing that niceness in you pokes something, so that's why he's mean to you." Oh. To him, her being nice just made him feel bad. Even though she was actually being nice, she didn't do anything wrong. To believer, to the other, an aroma of life. There are times when you do the right thing by someone and they're really thankful and it's good and it helps. Sometimes you're doing the right thing and it just seems to poke people and they get upset. That's what this passage talks about. So when we fry bacon, to most of us, yum, yum, yum. I didn't have to twist these guys' arms to want to eat it, did I? You volunteered pretty quickly. That's most of us. But if you're a vegan or a vegetarian and you smell that smell, you're not thinking, oh yeah. Because of who they are and what their choices are, I'm not having a... Whatever the reason they're doing that, the smell of bacon cooking doesn't feel good to them. If you're a Jew or a Muslim, the smell of bacon cooking isn't so good. Then I thought of another situation. Imagine you grew up in a home where your father loved bacon and he was always cooking it, but he was an abusive mongrel. The smell of bacon cooking could trigger those memories. And it wouldn't be a nice smell for you. So when we're being the aroma of Christ, for varying reasons, for some people it's not a nice smell. Now let's take another smell. I'm sure a couple of people here can smell that in their minds, can't you, Lindsay? Russell, you see that picture and you can almost smell it, can't you, Mandy? Okay, for those of you that don't know it quite so well, but you got an idea, that truck's driving through town and you're sitting at the cafe. It's a pretty ordinary smell, isn't it? In fact, telling stories, I know that when Lindsay worked there, they had a washing machine outside and he had to take the clothes off when he didn't have visitors and put them in the washing machine and then race inside to have his shower. He wasn't allowed inside with his clothes on, those clothes from work, was he, Lynn? What was the reason? Because that stinks. It's a terrible smell. To a vegan or a vegetarian, not only is it a distasteful smell, they're thinking, oh, cruelty, terrible, ugh, nasty people. Russell's thinking, heyday. Lindsay's thinking, payday, but it's frustrating some of that work. It's mixed feelings there, isn't there, Lindsay? You see, when we ooze the fruit of the Spirit, witness to Christ, speak the truth in love and act in love and grace and wisdom to help others, that is the fragrance of Christ that is noticed. That sentence is me trying to sum up what that fragrance is meant to be. That we ooze the fruit of the Spirit. Leaks out of us. I hope there's some people here more oozy than me because I haven't perfected that yet. They witness to Christ. Whenever I ask, they're willing to talk about him. They speak the truth in love. They're a sort of person that you know that they'll be as kind as they can, but you can trust they'll speak truth. They act in love, grace, and wisdom to help others. Those are the sort of Christians we want to have around. Those are the sort of Christians we're trying to be. Those are the sort of Christians that God knows we're on a journey towards, and if you haven't got all of those right yet, no, you don't have to rush off and go, oh, I missed out. Know that God's working on you. Those people, to those seeking God who know him, when you come across a person like that, it reminds you of the forgiveness you've been given. Those are the sort of people that, to a non-believer, show what forgiveness can look like and help them towards God. Those are the sort of people that are encouragement to someone who's trying to do the right thing. And they seek to encourage them. Those are the sort of people that give wisdom and direction. So if you're wanting to do the right person, you come across someone like that, and after a discussion with them, you got a bit more of an idea where you should go. They're the people that you sense love coming from. They're the people that show you a change towards something better. They're the people that are around that give you joy and hope. That's if you're heading in the right direction, wanting good, or are already saved. But if you're a person like that, around someone who are anti-God, who are wanting their own way, people like that make people who are struggling, who don't want to do the right thing, feel guilty. There's something about them. They feel guilty around them, so they don't like them. They sense judgment and condemnation. No, that's not necessarily because a person who's genuinely doing the yellow box, isn't that they're telling them how terrible they are and being judgmental and condemning? but the person doing the wrong thing feels judged and condemned because their conscience is poking them really hard because they're seeing how you should be, and they're not that. They see those people as an enemy. They hate them. Some of the crazier abortion clinics, they take people to court. Oh, they were standing outside across the road praying for us. How terrible is that nasty, terrible person? They hate the people who are doing good. They show them a change that they don't want to take on. That's what happens when the aroma of Christ is on you. To some people, it's really offensive to them because it reminds them of what they're supposed to be. Your role is to follow the Holy Spirit's lead to be Christ-like. The more Christ-like, the sweeter, the purer, and the stronger the aroma is. God is calling you to ooze the fruit of the Spirit, to witness to Christ, to speak the truth in love, to act in love, grace, and wisdom to help others. Doing those things, when you're, that's what you're focused on, with the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that will cause an aroma. The effect is up to the receiver. How they react is a result of their free will and what they're doing with the Holy Spirit's action in their life. The Bible says that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to bring condemnation of sin. The role of the Holy Spirit, not me. I don't have to go around condemning it. But if someone is genuinely doing the wrong thing, the Holy Spirit is poking them to some extent. When they see someone there who's doing the right thing, how they react to them is sometimes they're just trying to shut up that nagging voice in them. So they don't. So they're upset. That's what happens with the aroma of the Holy Spirit. So, but as I said earlier, I don't fry up bacon just to make the kitchen smell nice and then go and throw it in the bin. Russell doesn't load up a load of pigs and tell the truck driver to drive up and down Mergen streets just to annoy everybody. The smell is not the point of the exercise. Doing some task is the point. An odor is a side effect. Trying to sort out others is not our role. It's not the task we're called to. Unless you are a policeman. Oh, there's a couple of people here who are visiting. You're not a policeman, are you? No, okay. If you're a policeman, there are times your role is to take someone off the street. But even then, it's not to get their heart right. It's to stop them hurting others and do certain things. It's not our role to sort out others. Our role is following and serving God is our calling. That will create an odor. It's actually a good odor. But that good odor can have a bad effect on people sometimes. Now, that made me think of something. Yesterday, we had a person we met over and they brought some Indian food because they wanted to. They were someone that met Esther at work with her prac, and so he'd heard about her being sick and he wanted to find out what happened, so he brought us food. And he cooked Indian and it was nice. So those of you who like different food, imagine that beautiful Indian curry sitting there smelling. Have I got anyone yet? Just because you're a weird Australian who doesn't like foreign food. But you can imagine that. Now, in Australia, that's one thing. Now, Bron went to India. So when they're cooking that lovely food, is there any chance that there's one of those within smelling distance? Now, if you're in an Indian slum, and that's potatoes, obviously, if you're in an Indian slum, because they're not going to afford meat. The other smells around are competing with the lovely smell of the curry. Am I making sense at the moment? Because always, there's when there can be a lovely smell going on, there can be a competing smell nearby. Most aromas are a mixture. Sometimes we're a mixed bag. Anyone here willing to admit that they always lose all of the fruit of the Spirit in strong amounts? They're always a wonderful witness to Christ. They absolutely always speak the truth in love, and they're every day just acting in love and grace and mercy and helping others. Has anyone perfected all of those four things? You know, I am not one of them, all right? If you've looked in the mirror, are there times when you look back and went, oh my goodness, I could have done that better? That thing I did at that time wasn't really a great representation of Christ. That's a reality for all of us. God has a great filter for the final product called the blood of the Lamb. When we get to heaven, he runs our aroma through a filtration system that comes with Christ's sacrifice, and what comes out the other side is only the beautiful smells. Until then, we're a bit of a mixed bag. In the meantime, with his help, work on making the strongest, the good stuff, the stronger smells. And trust God to help others see past your faults to smell him. He said, I will build my church. He didn't say it's up to you. He said, I'm calling you to be part of that journey. So if you haven't perfected your aroma, don't just sit down and go, oh, well, it doesn't matter. But don't stress. Trust God that one, he can help you improve it, and two, he can help the other person see past it. If you go to someone's house and they're cooking that lovely curry and you're visiting an Indian family, and yes, they know that the neighbor's got the latrine there and it's not good place and the mixed smell, do you just sit there and go, oh God, this is terrible, and tell them how terrible their neighbor's latrine is? No. You hold the bowl close to your mouth and nose and do your best to smell the curry. God can do that with you, with people you're mixing with, when you're genuinely trying to serve him. He can help them see past. So as we finish this morning, my encouragement to you is spread the aroma of the knowledge of Christ. To put it this way, may you go out to this week and be very smelly Christians. Very smelly Christians, the right aroma. Now, with God's wisdom, he can help you do that. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that the aroma we give off isn't always all that it should be. Thank you that you're transforming us. But even when it actually is really good, we know that it sometimes affects others in not a good way. Lord, we pray for your work in their lives, that you will help us to have patience and be peaceful around them, and trust you to allow that aroma to work in them, they might change at the right time. We pray for your protection over us when we're doing as best we can to serve you and others are upset. Lord, we need your protection. And yeah, we need it here, but nothing like that reality in some other countries where there is strong persecution. Lord, we uphold those people to you, and we don't want to take it lightly, but we want to walk in the place where you've called us and have your strength here. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be smelly Christians in our sphere of influence. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.